Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 and 9 months FY26 conference call hosted by GEM Aromatics Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhilesh Gandhi from Stellar IR. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Steve. Good evening, everyone. I, Akhilesh Gandhi, on behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to the GEM Aromatics Quarter 3 and 9-month FY26 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the third quarter and nine months ended on December 31, 2025. Today, we have with us the senior management team of GEM Aromatics Limited. We have Mr. Yash Parekh. He is the Managing Director and CEO. With him, we have Mrs. Kaksha Parekh. She is the Whole-Time Director, Chairperson, and CFO. Along with them, we have Mr. Suraj Shah. He is the Deputy CFO, and Mr. Ajit Shah from CEO's office. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinion, and expectation as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents related to the company's financial performance, including press release and investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange. I now invite Mr. Yash Parekh to share his initial remarks on the company's performance for the quarter 3 and 9 months ended on December 31, 2025. Thank you, and over to you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. On behalf of GEM Aromatics, I'd like to welcome all our investors, analysts, and stakeholders to our Quarter 3 and 9-month FY26 earnings call. We appreciate your continued interest and engagement with the company. Before we begin, I would like to thank our investors, customers, partners, and employees for their continued trust and support. Your confidence encourages us as we progress through the next phase of our growth journey. For those who may be joining us for the first time, GEM Aromatics is a specialty ingredients manufacturer with integrated capabilities across mint, clove, phenol, and other synthetic and natural chemistries. We cater to global flavor, fragrance, and personal care, as well as wellness, pharmaceuticals, and allied industries. We operate across four key product segments: mint and mint derivatives, clove and clove derivatives, phenol and anisole chemistries, and other synthetic and natural ingredients. Our diversified portfolio today comprises of approximately 80 products, enabling us to serve a wide range of end applications. Our manufacturing footprint includes facilities at Silvassa, Badaun, Uttar Pradesh, and Dahej, Gujarat. Supported by advanced process technologies and in-house research and development capabilities, we currently serve more than 260 customers across 18 countries, including leading flavor and fragrance houses and FMCG companies. Over the years, we have steadily expanded beyond a mint-centric business towards a more diversified and integrated specialty ingredients platform, with a growing focus on higher-value products and sustainable manufacturing practices. Coming to our performance for the quarter, gross margins improved during the quarter and are trending towards normalized levels, with EBITDA margins also showing improvement supported by a gradual recovery in mint prices and better customer alignment, leading to improved order inquiries during Q3 FY26. Non-mint products such as clove and its derivatives continue to grow in line with the company's diversification strategy. However, revenues remain impacted by external headwinds, including tariff-related uncertainty and GST-related changes, which continue to influence customer procurement behavior and demand during the period. During the quarter, we made significant progress at our greenfield Dahej facility, which is a key pillar of our long-term growth and diversification strategy. We commissioned the cooling agents vertical with WS23 and WS03, as well as the clove and eugenol verticals as of 11th December 2025. The plant is currently in the stabilization phase and has successfully completed the first stage audits for FSSC 22000 version 6, GHP, HACCP, ISO 9001, 14001, and 45001, underscoring our focus on building a globally compliant manufacturing platform. The total capital expenditure for the Dahej facility is approximately rupees 270 crores, of which around 250 crores has already been incurred and largely capitalized. This facility will increase the company's total capacity by approximately 16,000 MTPA, representing an effective 3x expansion in capacity. The Dahej site will have manufacturing capabilities across clove and clove derivatives, citral derivatives, phenol derivatives, and cooling agents, which we believe significantly strengthens our product portfolio and long-term growth platform. We have successfully launched select products and are continuing to progress towards the next phase of commercialization across multiple specialty chemistries. For phenol derivatives, catalyst preparation is currently underway and is expected to be completed by the end of Q4 FY26. Following this, trial production of anisol, NEHQ, and glycol is planned for Q1 FY27, with the commercial scale-up expected post-successful trials. Subsequently, additional downstream phenol derivatives such as FOMAP and BHA are planned to be introduced in a phased manner, further expanding the company's specialty chemical portfolio. A key differentiator at the Dahej is the adoption of our continuous flow technologies for phenol chemistries, enabling the fluent-free processing compared to conventional routes. This enhances product quality, operational efficiency, and environmental compliance, particularly for the export markets. The strategic location near our raw material suppliers and the ports of Hazira also provide logistical advantages, optimizing raw material sourcing and export efficiency. Pilot trials for citral derivatives have been successfully completed with all necessary equipment now installed. The company is gearing up for commercialization, followed by a gradual ramp-up of capacity. Overall, the Dahej facility has been designed as a flexible, multi-purpose manufacturing platform, enabling rapid product transitions, faster commercialization cycles, and improved asset utilization across multiple chemistries. Q3 FY26 was a milestone quarter for us, with commissioning at Dahej, progress on diversification, and early signs of margin normalization. While external headwinds remain, we are encouraged by improving demand visibility and progress across product pipeline. Looking ahead, we remain confident about the company's growth trajectory. We expect near-term uncertainty to gradually ease, which should support improved business momentum. At Dahej, we are on launching new products and ramping up capacity utilization, which we believe will be the key growth driver of growth going forward. With an expanding product portfolio, improving asset utilization, and a strong focus on innovation, sustainability, we believe the company is well positioned to deliver sustainable and profitable growth over the long term. The company is targeting revenue of ₹1050 to 1100 crores by FY28, with EBITDA margins in the range of 16% to 18%. I will now hand over the call to our Chief Financial Officer for a detailed financial review. Thank you.
Thank you, Yash, and good evening, everyone. I will briefly take you through our financial performance of Q3 FY26 and 9-month period, first on a standalone basis and then on a consolidated basis, followed by key drivers and outlook. For Q3 FY26, standalone revenue from operations stood at rupees 83.9 crore. Gross profit for the period was rupees 15.4 crore with a gross margin of 18.4%. EBITDA for the period was 7.6 crores with an EBITDA margin of 9.1%. Net profit for the period was 4.2 crore, resulting in a PAT margin of 5%, and cash PAT stood at 6.2 crores. For 9 month FY26, standalone revenue from the operations stood at rupees 258.7 crores. Gross profit for the period was rupees 48.3 crores with a gross margin of 18.7%. EBITDA for the period was rupees 24.2 crore with an EBITDA margin of 9.4%. Net profit for the period was 14.88 crores, resulting into PAT margin of 5.7%, and the cash PAT stood at 19.8 crores. On a consolidated basis for Q3 FY26, revenue from operations stood at rupees 78.9 crores. Gross profit for the quarter was 18.2 crores with a gross margin of 23%. EBITDA for the quarter was 7 crore with an EBITDA margin of 8.9%. Net loss for the quarter was rupees 5 crore and cash PAT stood at rupees 3.7 crore. For 9 month FY26, consolidated revenue from operations stood at rupees 256.1 crore. And gross profit for the period was rupees 56.6 crore with a gross margin of 22.1%. EBITDA for the period was rupees 24.9 crore with an EBITDA margin of 9.7%. And net profit for the period was rupees 0.4 crore, resulting in a PAT margin of 0.2%. And cash PAT stood at rupees 14 crore. Coming to the business environment revenue, revenue during the Q3 FY26 and 9 month FY26 was impacted by tariff-related uncertainties and GST-related changes, which led customers to adopt cautious procurement behavior and optimize inventories. However, conditions improved during Q3 FY26 with alignment of customers' blending requirements and leading to a better order inquiries, supported by a gradual recovery in mint prices and growth in cloud and its derivatives. Coming to margin on a consolidated basis, gross profit margins improved from 14% to 23% and is trending towards normalized levels, while EBITDA margins improved from 3% to 9% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, supported by improving mint prices. On reported profitability, profitability was impacted by higher depreciation of rupees 8.7 crore, which is a non-cash charge following capitalization of a large portion of the approximately rupees 250 crore incurred capex out of the total planned capex of around 270 crore at the Dahej facility. On the Dahej facility, commercial production of WS23 and WS3 cooling agents along with cloud and eugenol commenced at the Greenfield Dahej facility on 11 December 2025. Contribution from Dahej remained limited in Q3 FY26 as operations were restricted to only approximately 20 days during the quarter. We expect a more meaningful contribution from Q4 FY26 onwards as new products are launched and capacity ramp-up begins, which should support higher utilization and improved revenue and margin visibility. Overall, while the operating environment remains challenging, we are encouraged by improving pricing trends, stabilizing demand, and increasing contribution from non-mint products. With Dahej ramping up and a strong product pipeline, we expect financial performance to improve gradually over the coming quarters. With that, we will open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to limit their questions to 2 per participant. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Kamlesh Bagmar with Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Yes, I had one question on the part of margins. Like, if I see standalone basis, our margins have improved by around 440 on the.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Kamlesh, could you please use your handset? The voice is not coming clear.
Yeah. So I was asking that if we see the gross margin improvement in standalone, we have seen 438 basis points odd around quarter-on-quarter. While on a consolidated basis, we have seen a sharp rise, roughly around double of that. So what has drove that? Because I believe it is more of a transfer pricing factor, or what has driven these particular margins?
Right. So thank you for the question. So it's a mix. It's actually improving realizations compared to Q2, and it's also coming in from our U.S. subsidiary, which is GEM LLC, where realization and demand, to the extent that some inventory has been exhausted with a few customers, they've started ordering, although at a slower pace. So that also helped realizations come up and hence the margins.
Okay. And lastly, on your guidance, like say 1,050 to 1,100 crore by FY28, and with the margins of healthy margins of 16% to 18%, so can you highlight the key drivers, like how that would move, like what contribution would be on the part of product mix, realizations, cost part? So if you can break it up in those three or four buckets or efficiency improvement, so that would be very helpful.
Thank you for the question. Yes, it's a combination of all the things that we have named, which is the ramping up of our crystal unit, which is focused much more on specialties. It will also be automation that we have installed at our plant, thereby bringing in efficiencies. And also we envision that now with the entire EU trade deal that has been signed, of course, the broader contours are only visible to all of us. But certainly we see this as a net positive. Between the flavor and fragrance companies incoming and making this happen for us.
So the Dahej facility has been designed effectively with our capacities, which are significant in nature. We are going to have much more downstreams there, and as a result of which, we are certainly going to be in a position to have a much better product mix, much better automation, and also exploring more and more geographies.
Okay. But how are we seeing this particular phase out of the margins or the improvement, right from Q1 FY27, or how that flow out? Would we see in, like say, mid of FY27, how that would get, like say, phased out over the period of time?
So tough to kind of quantify that quarterly, Kamlesh, but I think Crystal has all margin accretive products as we go more downstream. So, for example, cooling agents and eugenol are even exempt today from tariffs of the US, right? Now, given this production has started, so tough to say whether it will come from Q1 or Q2. But directionally, I think we are trying to ramp up Crystal, which contains margin accretive products. And it's for us to execute and please monitor that.
Great, and best of luck. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Mehta with FECOM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Super. Perfect. So, sir, I wanted to understand, are we currently producing menthofuran as part of our Ming derivative segment? And I wanted to understand, what are the applications of this particular product? And secondly, what are the realizations for this product in dollars per kg?
So we produce this product, menthofuran specifically. It's a specialty product that is used in mills. And depending on the type of menthofuran purity and the different grades of which type of isomers it is, the range effectively varies from something close. So that's one of the products that we make, and there's a combination of different isomers that we can make, which really put the price effectively out.
My apologies. I lost you on the pricing. Could you just repeat that?
No problem. Pricing could start from $80 a kg, going up to $200, depending on the level of purities and the type of product it is. So it is on the isomer ratios.
Okay. Okay. And where are these specifically used?
So it is used, it's a part of the mint value chain, where effectively there is a product called Mentha piperita, where Mentha furon is naturally occurring out there. And if the objective would be to either synthesize it from a synthetic route, natural identical route, or to extract it directly from a Mentha piperita, which is a basic essential oil. So there are different ways and means, and all of them have a different objective. So the clear cut would be to take this ingredient out of the mint and then have a standalone isomer of it, which again has an application in flavors and fragrances at large.
Got it, got it. And currently, how much capacity do we have to produce this?
It's a specialty product. To be honest, we have not. It is something that is a part of the main portfolio. We don't give individual specific product capacities, but it's part of the main portfolio, and it complements whatever we're trying to do. And we continuously keep working on extracting components from the mint value chain of essential oils, which are in absolutely, if the individual ingredient has a value in the world of flavors and fragrances, our objective would be to extract it in the most cost effective manner, and then make it available to our customers.
Thank you. Mr. Rohan, I would request you to please come back in the queue for further questions. The next question comes from the line of Nishita with Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello.
Yes, ma'am, yeah. Audible.
Yes, so I just had two questions. One is on the margins. So I just wanted to understand, you know, given a 16% to 18% EBITDA margin target by FY28, so, can you give a sustainable margin in FY27? Where do you see the margin in FY27?
So, thank you for that question, Nishita. So, right now, if you look at the margin that we've reported this quarter, the EBITDA margin is close to 9%. Now, because crystal expenses are coming through and the revenues haven't begun to, you know, come in. Now, as the ramp up at Crystal happens, the overall EBITDA margins would improve. So with a lot of moving parts, tough to again give, like I said, tough to give a quarterly guidance of or a yearly guidance, which is why we want to stick to what we've said on the last call, where we continue to believe that standing today as well, we'll be able to achieve FY28 numbers that we've guided for.
Right. So like, when will we see Crystal becoming PAT positive?
Right, so I think, again, a lot of parts have to fall in place, but we expect Crystal to break even in the next year.
Okay, understood. And my next question is on the facility, the new Dahej facility. How fast can we ramp this facility to our peak utilization, and what will be the revenue at peak utilization that we expect?
Right, so we've spent 250 odd crores on the H, some 20-25 crores is left. We are working with an asset turn of 3 times. So, and there is of course 30% free space. So, you know, at current expansion, I think 150 to 800 crores is what we can reach in 2 to 3 years. And so that your first question was, sorry?
How fast can we see that ramp up to like 70%?
Right. So I think the goal is to have all products come online by like Q1 of next year. and then we observe the, you know, we observe our execution, and we expect like 50%-60% by next year end.
So when you say Q1 of next year, you mean by Q1 of FY 2027, right?
Yes, Q1 of FY 2027 is when all our products
Will be online, and
will be
we'll
online,
reach 50%-60% utilization by Q1 of FY 2028.
Yes, that's a good assumption.
In 2 to 3 years, we can reach the revenue of 150-180 crores.
Sorry, one, no, I meant, we can reach the revenue of 750-800 crores in Crystal, which is like 3x the asset turns. Yeah. So like in 3 years out, so somewhere in FY 2029, we can do that.
Okay. In Crystal.
In Crystal.
From Dahej facility, how much, what is the asset turn in the Dahej facility?
So, ma'am, I was referring to the Dahej facility, which is Crystal Ingredients.
Okay. Okay.
It's a wholly owned subsidiary. I was talking all along for Dahej only.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying this. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Jatin with Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So just wanted to clarify, you indicated that the Crystal will be break-even in the next financial year. So what sorts of utilization you are assuming that it will operate at?
Right. So I meant, hello, Jatin, thanks for the question. I meant cash break-even, because obviously there is depreciation as well. So, yeah. So, like, somewhere in the range of 45% is when our calculations are that we should break even at like, cash.
Suraj, I've lost.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, so I was saying, I was referring to cash break-even. At roughly 45% odd capacity utilization, we should reach that cash break-even level by next year.
And you indicated that the 3x asset turnover, I mean, 750-800 crores of a revenue over the next 3 years, right? Which will be by 2029, we should be operating at the rated capacity.
Yes.
So how shall one look at the existing facility operation? Because in the initial remark, Mr. Parekh indicated 1,050-1,100 crores of top line with 16% margin. So how shall one look at the ramp up and the contribution from the existing facility, and what sorts of margin contribution one can get it from that?
So you mean GEM?
Yes.
GEM, like, okay.
Yes.
So of course, so what Yash spoke about in his opening remarks was on a consolidated basis for 1,100 crores. I was saying that at peak capacity, currently what, so we are assuming a 3x asset turn. Now, we are also moving Club from GEM to Crystal. So we will try to, you know, consolidate Club and expand there. So depending on how capacities open up at GEM and what products we pick there, it could also vary accordingly. So, you know, it's the best estimate that we can make at this point, but we'll have to see what product we do when we move Club from GEM to Crystal gradually.
No, because my question was coming from things at Crystal, which is Dahej. We are probably changing our product mix, bringing out some specialty fragrance out there, having a better margin as compared to our existing product mix, which is a Silvassa and MP, right? So at currently, if you look on the standalone, last year also, we did near about 16-17 margin on a standalone basis.
Yes.
Now, with the Dahej coming in and with the operating efficiencies much higher than the our existing one, don't you think we should have a better margins at the consolidated level once the capacity operated on around 65%-70%?
That's a fair assumption to have, Jatin. We've just factored in. So the way we look at this is, given the uncertainties right now, assuming all remains as is, and this is the bare minimum which, you know, we are guiding at. Of course, whatever you laid down in your explanation made sense, so fair to expect that.
Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best.
The next question comes from the line of Disha with IIFL Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
I'm trying to find the computer.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Okay. So my first question is on the phenol derivative business. As we know, Amisol is one of the key ingredients. Do we intend to manufacture it in-house or source it locally?
So at this stage, of course, while we are ramping up the entire unit, we have a clean vapor phase-based technology that is ready to go for Amisol. And our intent is to manufacture and produce the Amisol in-house to go ahead and give us the necessary cost competitive advantages for going downstream from there, towards MEHQ, glycol, and then eventually BHA, as well as there are other products such as Formap and Anethol that we are going to be using for Amisol as a base.
Right. And another question on the same lines. As we know, in MEHQ, we already have legacy players like Pinsense, Solvay, and now even Vinati is entering the business. How do we intend to compete, and how do we see the market going ahead, the demand, and also we've seen some softening in realization. So how do we expect the overall market to grow from here?
Great. So we are convinced about our technology, of what we have invested in a thorough backward integration starting from Anisol. Some of the names that you have mentioned do not really follow the Anisol path. Some do, some don't. But we are confident of our technology. We have connected, and our plant is currently under approvals by a handful of majors who are big consumers worldwide of these products. And as our capacity is ready to go, we envisage that there should be not a significant challenge in selling what we are producing out here. In addition to that, even in some of the downstreams, such as from the Anisol vertical, we are going towards Anethol, and from the glycol vertical, we are forward integrating into other F&F products, which are kind of unique to some of the names that you have mentioned out here. And these are much more downstream derivatives that are focused upon the flavor and fragrance industry. So that's also a differentiation, and that's also margin accretive. So that's where we are. Based on our surveys and the journey we are on so far, we don't envisage a challenge in selling these products.
Got it. So these are going to be export-focused or domestic?
The combination of both, but more focus would be heavier towards exports.
Are we going to follow a contracted volume basis or just sell in open markets? Do we have anything on that?
Sure. So when you're starting out any product, the first go is towards selling these towards distributors and traders worldwide, because those are kind of the easiest doors to knock, and they will open fast if the quality and the pricing and other points match well. Of course, the intent in long term is to clearly get our product approved with global majors who also want to see that the stability records, the consistent performance, all of that is in place. So in the first couple of years, we see more of traders and distributors coming with bulk of the orders, but certainly, and with minor coming from the big majors. But then towards year two and year three, we certainly see the big end consumers really coming on board and taking majority of the volume.
Right. So you mentioned in 1Q FY27 is when your capacity is going to be coming online for MEHQ and glycol. What is the size of these two combined, or if you can give me product-wise, that would be helpful.
So you're talking about product-wise capacity? I'm sorry, your line was not very clear. If you could repeat the question, please.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted product-wise capacity, if that's possible.
So it is, we of course know the product-wise capacities, but we are not giving that out as a part of our strategy. So at this stage, we'll not be able to provide that.
Okay, no problem. That's all from my end. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Nikhil Oswal with Oswal Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. So I think one of the previous participants asked this question, but the line was pretty patchy, so I couldn't hear it. I just wanted to know, what is the estimated peak revenue from the new Dahej facility? Is that around 750 crores? And the margin profile?
Right. Hi. Hello. So yeah, so we've considered an asset turn of 3x, and there is 30% free space after that. So we've spent closer to 250 crores. So with this current capacity, we can do a peak of 750 to 800 crores by FY29 is our assumption at peak, and then we'll see how. I mean, we get, of course, it's an 85% multi-purpose plant. So depending on which product gets more traction, we could utilize the facility that way, and accordingly see with minimal capex how do you kind of completely optimize it. See, on margins, like we've been alluding to, that Crystal as a plant, the products that we've selected are all margin accretive than the current products that we deal in. So yeah, so blended, I think, yeah, it should do better margins.
Okay, sir. And so what the ramp up, what you're expecting next year is around 45-50%, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vinay Shah with TCD. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I wanted to ask, sir, any implications around any export opportunities that you have from Europe or this FTA, or then again USA, because USA, the tariffs are so high. So what exactly is the current contribution from USA, and how do you see forward? Thank you.
So there are two questions, sir. So first, of course, what you're mentioning about Europe. We are continuously increasing our focus on territories outside the US to kind of have a much more open basket of products and markets to sell. So far, as of FY25, a large portion of our exports, almost 60% of our total exports, was to the US market. And majority of it, as you rightly mentioned, is under tariffs. And that is also clearly being reflected in some of the pains that we are seeing, where customers have accepted to purchase the product with the tariffs, but they are exhausting their incomplete inventory. And we do see some of that coming back, but clearly that's the reason why the pain is currently there. Now, as we go into the next generation products, which are a Crystal, like it was mentioned by our team briefly on this call, a majority of those products are actually tariff exempt. That's point number one for the US. And we certainly are hopeful that once the tariffs in the US, as being suggested by recent media reports, there could be a potential trade deal, or at least a reduction of the 25% Russian penalty, we will certainly see a much more positive turn towards export in the US market. That's one. Now, coming to the Europe section, now, as this happened, the endeavor was to start expanding in other territories. Europe is a major flavor and fragrance hub for the world. Our objective is to have a fairly significant exposure in the European markets. Based on the media reports that are currently there about the India-EU trade deal happening, of course, the broader contours are going to be finalized over the next few months by the governments of both the countries. But definitely it is a significant positive and for our industry of flavors and fragrances.
I wanted to ask one more question. That after the total revenue that you have, what is the recurring revenue, from the sticky customers who don't prefer to change the fragrance or flavor provider, who remain with your company? So what is the proportion of that business in terms of percentage, if you can just mention?
So a large portion of our business is with sticky customers. And the numbers of the top five customers pretty much have not changed in the last decade or so. Because once your ingredients are approved in their composition, it becomes very difficult for them to onboard someone else and bring them on. So, of course, the numbers within the top five may change year on year depending on different factors, but largely the top five customer profile has stayed the same.
Thank you. That should be all. Thank you. and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sai Ganesh with Square 64 Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Oh.
Yes.
Okay, sir. What will be the capacity bifurcation for our 9,000 odd metric ton capacity at Dahej?
Could you please repeat the question?
What would be the odd metric ton capacity in Dahej at Dahej?
Sai Ganesh, your line was not clear. Could you please repeat again?
Is it clear now, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
What would be the capacity bifurcation for our new 9,000 odd metric ton capacity at Dahej?
So like Yash mentioned earlier on the call, we are not breaking down the capacities by product.
Okay. And sir, how will be the working capital cycle looking for fiscal, given that our current business typically requires 45% of revenue as working capital?
Right. So, see, initially, while we ramp up Crystal, of course, we'll load up more inventory so that, you know, you have adequate stock before you can go and start selling to those large customers. But given the nature of products, like, for example, phenol derivatives, citral derivatives, for that matter, even club and eugenol and for the derivatives, would not require us to carry so much inventory because they're easily available. So from that sense, our inventory days should come down. And on debtor days, we are actively, evaluating off balance sheet alternatives like factoring, which we've also implemented in the last quarter from for two of our customers. So while we do all of this, we look at our overall working capital cycle to get better. So cash moves faster and we become more efficient. But that's how you should look at it.
Okay, sir, any broad sense you can give, like in FY28, you have guided that 1,000 or 1,050 or crores revenue. How will your working capital requirement at the console level?
No, I think tough to give that 3 years out from a balance sheet standpoint. But the endeavor is to, bring it down both on inventory and receivables. But I think let's observe for a few more quarters of how that shapes up before we can comment.
Okay, sir. And you talked about the current FTA trade deal. What are the current duties applicable on Indian export to Europe for our products?
And could you repeat that question, Sai Ganesh?
Yes, sir. What are the current duties applicable on Indian exports to Europe for our products currently?
So if we have heard the question correctly, what you mean to ask is what is the current duties in Europe for our products?
Yes.
So as we mentioned at the beginning of this particular call, there are about close to 80 products that we have. Each one clearly has a different import tax as it stands today. And we would need to kind of evaluate this on a much more holistic level once the EU trade deal really, the contours of those trade deals are much more visible to all of us. And then come back, if that's where your question is eventually leading, which is how will the EU trade deal really impact?
Yes, sir.
That's what the answer is.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pratik Kulkarni with Kosh Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Pratik. You're not audible well. Could you please use your handset?
Hello? Am I audible right now?
Not quite well, sir. Could you please come closer to the mic?
Hello? Is it okay now?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so I just wanted an update on like last two quarters we have been facing issues on tariffs, and last quarter also there was one issue regarding the GST revision where our product offtake on domestic market wasn't encouraging. So you have given the updates on the tariff issue, but what are the updates on the GST issue which we faced last quarter?
Sure. So largely, the answer to the GST is that this has been something which is far more with the unorganized and fragmented smaller suppliers and smaller customers, where price is the only consideration. We feel that the GST issue is here to stay for some time.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to add to what Yash said. So on demand, what we are seeing is on the last call, what we observed is that companies were reworking their formulations as they had to adjust to the two rate structure, right, on menthol, which is a starting point. So
Yes.
The observation is that that clarity has emerged. People have understood that to be the new normal, and they've adjusted their blend requirements. So we see like green shoots in demand coming from there. And what Yash was alluding to is the other part where a few players would only have price as a factor. So there, obviously there's that part hasn't improved, but we see that clarity has emerged with the buyers, where now I think they've understood that there are two different rate structures, and they work with the blend requirements, and that demand has started to come back.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akshada Deo with Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So there are two things I wanted to know from Yash, if possible. I just wanted to know more on the cooling agent side. What is the update there? That was 500 metric tons of capacity, and I think that was a good customer also who was expected to come in. So has that happened? And second, I wanted to know more on the nerve front side. This Q4 is typically when most of the order gets booked for the company. So how are we expecting that to come up?
Thank you. Thank you. So I'll answer the first part of the question, which is about cooling agents. Yes, large customers have reached out. There are multiple stage audits that they undertake. So the first stage of the audits have successfully been completed. Now, as the production ramps up, because they really want to see 3 to 5 production batches, and then they come in for a follow-up audit. And as that has happening, we are, and it's also been scheduled, so we expect that those audits to be completed hopefully by March and April, and post which we would start seeing a ramp-up in the sales to large institutional customers for specifically the cooling agent range. That's the question number one. Second is in Q4, yes, historically Q4 of the financial year from January to March has been always the strongest quarter for the company. And a large portion of that is from the United States and from the exports. So that is also one area where we are seeing now an uptick, because majority of the inventories have been utilized by our customers over Q2 and Q3. And much more inquiries and those order flows are expected to come in Q4.
Do we believe that we'll be able to maintain the numbers that we did last year, or we should expect some amount of degrowth Q-on-Q and Q4 as well?
It's tough to say, to be honest, at this stage, considering there are far more modalities out here. Plus, also, if we are exporting in the months of February and March, courtesy of the Ind AS accounting practices, it will not reach most likely the American CEPA. So even that would not be factored in as a part of the revenue directly at the end of March 31st reporting. But the inquiries and the order flows are certainly much higher than what they have been sequentially over Q2 and Q3.
Okay. And considering that tariffs have been there for almost a year now, I think we have to adjust for normalizing that this is the environment, and whenever it happens, it happens. But as a risk mitigation, are there any strategies that we were able to implement throughout?
Yes. So we have been able to implement, and we are working actively on pursuing a number of strategies, because our ingredients go into flavors and fragrances. There is significant amount of due diligence that is required on any US plus one strategy, where the value addition criteria need to be met, as well as the production facilities need to be of a certain standard. And even our end customers, who are large institutional buyers, would need to come and approve those third-party facilities that we would be effectively taking on lease or renting them out or contracting them. So it's a fairly long due diligence process where we are sending the intermediates, is going out there. There's a certain degree of manufacturing as per that respected country where the finished goods are going to be finally met, considering all the compliances and the valuation norms are being met, and then also approved by the customer, where they have to come in and check the facility out, and then it goes into there. So it's a long cycle. We have done a lot of work to do this, but clearly the headwinds from a standpoint of changing global scenarios by the current geopolitics that we see also makes it very challenging. But we are working on our dual one US plus one strategy from a standpoint of getting that up. So even if the tariffs stay as they are, we are cognizant of this and taking all the necessary steps to ensure that it no longer becomes a major hurdle in the coming quarters.
And the GST...
I'm sorry to interrupt, ma'am. I would request you to please come back in the queue for further questions.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Darshan Garg with Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, we have given a guidance of FY28 of 1100 odd crores with 16 to 18% margins. Sir, as a statement was made that in Q1 by Q1 28, the H plant will reach 50% utilization. So, sir, do we see this ramp-up happening quickly from the Budao plant where, from 320-odd crores of annual top line to 700 crores over a period of next 2 years is possible?
So, could you please repeat the question, Darshan? Sorry, line was not so very clear to us.
No problem, sir. Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, we have given the guidance of 1,100 crores... by FY28 with 16 to 18% EBITDA margins, I believe. So with the H plant ramping up 50% utilization by Q1 or Q2 FY28, so that comes out at around 400 odd crores. Will we see the Budao plant ramp up from current 80 crores quarter top line to, close to around 130 or to 140 odd crores quarter top line in a period of next 2 years?
But Badanu alone is not going to be, but from 350, it's not going to take up to the
70. Sorry, ma'am, I'm not able to hear your voice. Your voice is not audible.
Yeah, hello, can you hear it now? Is it audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so if we've understood this rightly, the Badayu plant is 350-400 crore, and the rest will come up from crystal ingredients. It's not going to be ramping up from Badayu itself. So if I understood and answered your question correctly.
Correct. But ma'am, previously there was this mention that by Q1 FY28, the Dahej plant will reach 50% utilization. So will we be able to ramp up it to 100% in FY28 itself?
No, so I think it wasn't Q1 FY28 50%. So there were multiple questions on peak revenue capacity and all that, right? But so the way, if I have to lay down, as we stand today, how that 1100 crore may look like, and this can change, of course, given, but our sense is, it still would be like 650 to 700, the balance would be gem. But again, there's a factor, if we're able to move a lot of clubs from gem to crystal, then gem could be higher. So, but that is how the split will look as of now.
Okay, and how much of the crystal revenue is dependent on US markets?
Right, so crystal, so we are doing, if I have to break it into four broad categories, cooling agents, Cetra derivatives, club and nutritional Yes. So does that answer your question of the split?
Sir, we were not able to hear you. Your voice completely.
Okay. Sure. So I'm saying that the 1100 crore that we talk about, the split that we see is 700 by Crystal and 400 odd by Gen. And I was telling you were asking how many products we are dependent on the US. So cooling agents is exempt from tariffs per Annex 2. Eugenol is exempt from US tariffs. Tetra derivatives is largely an import substitution play. And phenol derivatives is also a mix between domestic and export, but non-US.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, sir, right now, by GEM, in GEM, we are doing for the 320 odd crores of annual top line, considering the Q2 and Q3 run rate. So, the ramp up of 400 crores, isn't it a very conservative target coming by FY28?
No. So, I'm not looking at, this year, that's enough to understand that it is affected by tariffs, right? Two quarters.
Mm-hmm.
So tough to look at current this thing and then. What I mean is that from a revenue split standpoint, because there is a product vertical which we are gradually moving and we will have to refill that and something else would make up and reach 400. So that's the moving part, which is why we kind of talk consolidated, because you want to see how this shapes up. And a few decisions would be made as we get more customers, as we get traction on a few products. But this is the best estimate you can have, 3 years out.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yash Parekh for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you all for your questions and for continued interest in the company. We remain confident about our growth trajectory and are encouraged by the progress we are making on diversification, capacity ramp up at the edge, improving demand visibility. We expect near-term uncertainties to gradually ease, which should support improved business momentum. With an expanding product portfolio, improving asset utilization, and a strong focus on innovation and sustainability, we believe we are well positioned to deliver sustainable and profitable growth over the long term. The company is targeting revenue of 1050 to 1100 crores by FY28 with an EBITDA margin in the range of 16 to 18%. If you have any further questions or require additional information, please feel free to get in touch with our investor relations team at Stellar Investor Relations. Thank you once again for joining the call and for your continued support. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of GEM Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.